believe him this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, we sing all together, Jehovah.
Jehovah, you, I trust.
Hey, to the chorus, you are the God. when some fight for their God. Jesus, you know they use me for your
Covenant.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we're thankful that you're a covenant-keeping God. We're assured of this because we know that you're God and you cannot lie. If you ever lie, this whole world will collapse. Everything will fail. But Lord, you are fervent in your commitment to truth, for that is your nature. And Lord, oh God, we are assured this day, because you're a covenant-keeping God, that every promise that you've made to us will be made manifest, and that every agenda of the enemy will fail. And so, Lord, oh God, today, as we celebrate this feast, we ask, Father, that you will speak to us and assure us of those things that you have in your mind for us. For your thoughts towards us are good. Let there be a manifestation in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Seven days we've been together. 7 days we've been together, and I don't know where the 7 days went. I guess when you're having fun in God, things just happen. And I give God praise for his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And tonight I'm going to talk about the tabernacles, not the main tabernacle, but the tabernacles or the booths, or the Feast of Booths, this is called. And what lessons the Lord will want us to learn from it. Why does God in Leviticus 23 talk about this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, and instructed that they should celebrate it for 7 days plus an eighth day? Meaning new beginnings. What is the point behind it? Why are they celebrating 7 days? Well, if you have not clued in yet, they were already in booths. They were already in tents. So why is he calling it as something that they needed to do when they were already in the tents? Why is he making this such a special time? And why is it that we are going to celebrate this particular feast in the millennium? And those who do not come to the feast get punished. What's the point behind it? There's got to be a reason. So let us first of all just backtrack and consider what this feast is all about. Well, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, God is speaking to the Israelites. In chapter 9, he's going to give us even more details. But here in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, he starts out this way. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that ye may live. Not just live, and multiply. And go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. I have made a commitment to your fathers. I made a covenant commitment to your fathers, and I want to bring it to pass in your lives. But I need you to be obedient to my commandments. I want you to listen to my instructions. I want you to follow the statutes that I've set in place. What I'm speaking to you about, I want you to listen attentively and obey them. Because I want to do something in your life. I want to do something that your parents did not experience. I want you to experience it. I made a commitment to them. They did not follow the instruction and therefore lost out. They lost out. But I don't want you to lose out. And the reality is this, that God has been working through time with different people. And in these last days, he wants to work with us. He wants to do something very unique with us. The Lord Jesus Christ made a covenant statement. He said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to be with the Father." We've not seen the fullness of that particular word. But it is God's perfect will to bring it to pass in our lives. Now, people many times hop all over the word commandments as if it's a bad word. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, "This commandment I give to you." There's a commandment. And the commandment is about love. And then he says that all of the commandments are founded on that foundation of love. Love for God and love for people. So if we're going to follow the commandments of God, we're going to have to follow the commandment of what? Love. We have to follow that commandment. And what is the net result of all of that? It says that you may live, and that you multiply, and that you go in and possess the land that I swore unto your fathers. The land, the position, the place that I committed. I made a commitment that this is what's going to happen. He says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Now, the children of Israel are about to go into the promised land at this point. And he is restating to them what has been happening. He says, "For 40 years, I've led you through this wilderness. Why? To humble thee." That's why. "To prove thee. To know what was in thine heart. Whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no." So part of the reason God took them through that wilderness, he tells us, one, to humble you. Two, to prove you. Three, to find out what's in your heart. And four, whether you're going to keep my words. Those four reasons. That's why I took you this way. Because in actuality, the journey was supposed to be a journey of about 11 days from Egypt to the promised land. But the other reason he gives to us is this, that he took them that way because they were not ready for war. They were not ready for war. So I had to take you the long way so that I get you to begin to think as warriors. Because whatever it is that you're going to possess, you're going to fight to get it. Praise the Lord. But that seems rather strange, because He's going to tell them, the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. So what is this battle? It is a battle of arresting themselves. The greatest battle that you and I face is a battle to arrest ourselves, subdue ourselves, so that we, humble in the sight of God, God can exalt us. The devil is not your biggest problem. No, he's not. Because the Lord Jesus Christ made a statement before he went to the cross. He said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. There's nothing that he can come collect here, because all of me is unto the Lord God, my Father, to obey him. The Bible says Jesus, our Lord, learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And his obedience was because of his love for the Father. And the challenge that every one of us face as we move in this pilgrimage or this journey or sojourning that God is calling us to is the one of one, me arresting myself, my selfish ways and ideas, thoughts and whatever else, and aligning myself with the will and the word of God, ridding myself of fear. How do I get rid of fear out of my life? By allowing the love of God to take root in me. For the perfect love of God will cast out fear. Praise the Lord. God wants me to be fully engaged with him. He says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He allowed you to go through hunger and then fed thee with manna. Manna is that which they did not know. What is this? Which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. In essence, I brought you to a place where everything that you were experiencing was new, strange to you, but it was me. I was engaged in it. That he may make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We live by the words of God that he has spoken, not by the things that we can manufacture and do, but by his word. His word, his word. When Jesus was tempted of the enemy to turn stones into bread to prove that he was the Son of God, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. What word? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What word are you holding on to as you pilgrimage, as you walk? Because the enemy will always come against the word of God that God has spoken into your life. He said, this is what happened. He says, and when that was happening, he says, your raiment waxed not old upon thee. The clothes that we're wearing, they did not start falling apart. They did not wax old. They stayed fresh. Like brand new. How is that possible? Well, that's a miracle of God. Neither did thy foot swell. from all that walking these 40 years, your feet didn't swell, your clothes didn't wear out, everything stayed like it was brand new. He said, that's what I did for you. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. I'm bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valley and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. I'm bringing you to a place where there's not going to be scarcity, lack. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. In essence, God is saying, listen, obey my commandments. I made a commitment to your parents, to your fathers, that I'm going to do something with your lives. Just listen to my instruction, but I want you to know, if you missed it, let's go back to verse 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And now verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. That is the bridge point. The bridge point as we talk about the grace of God and God bringing us into the promise is that God is also going to be the God who chastises us. You know, so many times I have cried out to God and said, why are you picking on me? Everybody else is doing something else crazy, but when I try to go this way, pow, what is this? And his response is always the same. I have called you for a special assignment. I cannot allow you to do less. May I say to us, while God's grace is going to be more than enough, that the God we serve is going to chasten you. He's going to chastise you. You're not going to get away with anything. Some of the things that you used to get away with, you're not going to get away with it anymore. But his hardness and his toughness towards you is because of the greater glory that he wants to reveal in you and in me. This is not the time to look at other people and other churches and other believers, you know, whatever it is that they're getting away with. Why can't I do that? No. This is a time for you to lock in with God and what God wants to do in you, through you, for you, by you, for his glory and honor. Praise the Lord. He says, I chasten you because I have an assignment for you. I'm going to bring you into this place of supernatural abundance, and you are going to have to possess it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, as we go further, he says to us, he says, I'm going to bring you into wealth, but don't forget when you finally arrive and you have all these resources and start thinking, I got this by my own strength. No, you're not going to get it by own strength. Don't forget that I did it for you. It was not by your might, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee what? Power. That word power there can also be translated as forces or armies. Are you with me? In essence, God is going to dispatch supernatural forces. You may not see them with your eyes, but they are forces that are fighting on your behalf to make sure that you collect spoils. Praise the Lord. It is he that giveth the power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant. The song we sang tonight was about that covenant, that he's a covenant-keeping God. I didn't tell the praise and worship team to sing that for tonight, but that's a perfect song for the message that God is speaking to us. I am a covenant-keeping God. Stop looking at your circumstance and how impossible things look right this very moment, because whatever it is that I said I'm going to do in you and for you and through you will be done. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let us recalibrate. Yeah, certain things haven't happened. He said, I cause you to be hungry so I can give you manna. I thought it was because they were griping and complaining. Where's the food? Now, when they were griping and complaining and he gave them food and they started eating it, they started dying. It was the blessing of the Lord. But God will not, please hear this, God will not entertain any kind of murmuring. God hates murmurers. He wants you to just believe him. Now, the challenge of believing God is that there are things that are supposed to happen that are not happening yet. And God says, just believe me. Oh, but I'm impatient. I want it now. And God shows to us that time does not define or limit his power. That everything that you're looking for, when he gives it to you, will be the right time. Praise the Lord. It will be the right time. He says, I took you 40 years. For a journey that should have taken 11 days, 40 years. Oh, this, why is this not happening yet? Why did we leave Egypt? Why are we going around this mountain over and over and over again? I want you to live in booths. But Lord, why? Okay. Now let's get to that. Booths. They are in the wilderness. And he says to them, I want you to build booths. Put the structure out there. Put leaves on there. And I want you to go into those boots. And I want you to sleep there for 7 days. Lord, why? I have my house. I have a nice tent over here. Why am I coming here and trying to find? Can you imagine? They're not in a forest. Are you with me? They're not in a forest. They are in a wilderness. Where are they going to get all of this stuff? Because man shall not live by bread, but by every word. Everything God commands us to do, He provides for us. Get that. Get that. Get that. Everything God asks you to do, He provides for you. Let me say the third time. No matter how scarce whatever it is, if God asks you for it, He has a way of bringing it to you so you can see into another realm and have. There's about 1 million people in the wilderness. And they're going to be cutting down branches and putting this stuff up. Why? Because He wants them to know, I am God, and if I ask you to do something, you will not lack it. That's a lesson. There's no lack. I ask you to do it, you're going to get it done. Let me use an example that is very present for you. 3 years ago, something like that, I'm sitting down there in the service, and the Lord says, it's time to get that screen. With what kind of money? We don't have the money for it. But if God said, get it, then I also know that He knows that the resources to get it is somewhere and it's close to me. So what do? I have to obey the instruction. You get it? So I came up and I said, this is what we're going to be doing. It was not a board meeting. Nobody knew about it. I didn't even know about it until He said. I said, this is what we're going to be doing. Okay. How are we going to do this? How much money do we need? You need to raise $100,000. I'm thinking, $100,000 from where? From whom? How is that going to happen? And it's COVID time. So, followed the instruction. And then it dawned on me, oh, wait a minute. It's not just that. The stage has to expand. And it's not just that. We're going to have to do something totally different with the congregation, the chairs and everything. And, oh, Lord, have mercy. But by the end, when we finished, we had done this, all of this, and even in the overflow, in the banquet hall, chairs fixed, monogrammed, everything done. Why? If God says, get branches, He supernaturally provides for it. You get the point now? There is nothing God asks you for that he does not provide. Because he knows that you don't have it, but it is his opportunity to feed it to you so that you can have it and bring it back to him. There is nothing that we give to God that isn't God's. Hallelujah. So he's engineering faith in them. So they have the boots and they are outside. Now, God begins to show to them something. While they are there in the open, not in a roofed house, roofed building, out in boots with leaves and branches, staying outside, God was teaching them, I made a promise. Do you remember a Joseph? Do you remember Abraham? I said to Abraham, see those stars? That's how I'm going to bless you. So while they were outside, laying down, all they could see were the stars. The stars. To remind them that God made a covenant. The Feast of Tabernacles is a reminder to us that God is a covenant-keeping God, even though we've not arrived yet. But I want you to be reminded of the fact that the stars are there just to remind you that I said I'm going to bless Abraham with children like the stars. Oh, but if you can't just see the stars and you're a belly sleeper, well, you see all this sand, all this dirt, I made a promise that I'm going to bless him just like that also. What is God doing? He is reforming, refreshing, recalibrating our thinking to lock in with the wisdom of his Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What is God trying to do here? He said, I took you through places that had scorpions, serpents, all kinds of deadly stuff. It says, and they did not destroy you. Except for the time that they were murmuring. Right there in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, listen, the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, when you believe in him, he says, you're going to pick up deadly things and they will not destroy you. You're going to eat deadly things and it won't destroy you. The Feast of Tabernacles is to remind us of the goodness of God. And that the goodness of God is not only based on the fact that God is taking us through goodly places, but even when we're going through bad experiences, that he protects and keeps us. Praise the Lord. The Feast of Tabernacles. That's why God is taking them out of their nice tents, out, to remind them of his goodness. In which ways has God reminded you of his goodness in your life? The thing about this particular experience, is that they were on the move all the time according to the leading and the guidance of the Spirit of God. And the times that God might move may not be convenient to them. But if they do not follow the moving of God, then they will be left in darkness and in the cold. When the tabernacle was completed, God manifested himself in the main tabernacle, right in front of the entrance, by this great pillar of fire at night, or cloud during the day. And they were supposed to be there for as long as that pillar of cloud or fire remained in place. But once it moved, they're supposed to move with him, move with that cloud. And so those that were in this boot experience were commissioned by God to follow his leading. And one of the things that we as sons and daughters must tune into is the move of God. What is God doing? Is the cloud moving or is it in one spot? And if it moves, how do we move? How do we follow his leading? How do we follow his guidance? That is the commission that God gives to us as his people. Follow my leading. Follow my lead. I'm the boss here. I'm going to tell you when it's time for us to move. And that pillar moved. Sometimes they just came, they set up everything, and then in the morning, poof, it's on the move. But we just finished setting up. It goes for some distance, and then it stays there for a week, or it stays there for 6 months, or it stays there for a whole year, or sometimes for years. Nothing changing. You never know when the change is going to take place. But when it happens, you got to follow the leading of God. Praise the Lord. We have to follow the leading of God. There was a time, the lawyers will know this well, where we moved from one place to the other. One place to the other in this city. We kept on moving from one place to the other. And there were times when we're in a place, we liked it so much, like the Holy Ghost Fraternity Building just before Mountain here. We used to have services in the basement. It was really nice in there. And one day I get a note. We don't want your church in here anymore. They had a new board. We were set to just enjoy that place. Oh, I got so peeved by what they did, and I was going to sue them for trying to kick us out of the building. Oh my, was I piping. Where am I going to go? What, you guys don't have the right to do that because you have a new board. You're going to come here and kick us out like that without any notice, blah, 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 blah. And I called some of my spiritual daughters, I'm going to you know, that we're lawyers, because we've got lots of lawyers. I said, fire me some letter, and the Lord, I remember so well, and the Lord says to me, says, do you want me to take care of this, or do you want to take care of it? I said, I want you to take care of it. Okay, stop acting up. Lord, where am I going to go? And I remember driving down Henderson Highway, and I see this building. Never seen it before. It's been there all these years. I have been there for 50 years, for all I know. The Lord says, go to that church. It's called John Black Memorial United Church or something. So I went, called the pastor. I said, I have this need, blah, 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 blah. He said, when do you have your services? I told him. He said, well, I have services at that same time, but if you want, you can have services at this time, which was about 12 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that. Right? Yeah. So we were there for about a month or so. And oh, praise the Lord. If we had been in this same place, we wouldn't have had the money to pay the rent for that month. And we moved to where God said to go to. And I said, how do I handle the payment for the? He says, nothing. Nothing. It can be here. And then the Lord moved us from there. I think we went to the Lutheran Church on Mark Phillips or something like that. And I remember, we had a television program called Message of Deliverance at the time. And I got a call from somebody who wanted some money, some assistance. Normally, I don't give money to people. I'll buy you stuff, but I don't give money. And the Lord says, write him a check for $100. Okay. So I go to where this person is. I go into their building. I climb up about 4 or 5 stories. They were right at the corner of Notre Dame and Sherbrooke or Maryland. I go up the stairs looking for this guy. He was nowhere to be found. I'm coming down the stairs, and I see somebody coming up, and the Lord says, that's the person you're looking for. Are you so-and-so? Yeah, that's me. I said, here, give him the check. Got into the car, driving down Maryland. And as I'm driving down Maryland, I see this building. It says for rent. The for rent had faded, and there was snow all over the place. The place was just a mess. The Lord says, that's the next place you're going. 382 Maryland. So I went, wiped the door, saw the faded numbers of where the owner for the place was, and I called. Yeah, the place was available. Then, it's a long story, I know. I'm just talking about how God leads you. Place was a warehouse, total mess. I said, Lord, what do I do with this place? So first thing, go across the street over there. There's a building just right, just by the corner of Portage Avenue and Maryland, some place. He says, go ask them for their parking lot. Okay? So I did that. They said they were willing to give me use of their parking lot. Now I had to get a permit. So went to get a permit. Place for the permit was by, I don't know the name of the street now. Anyway, it's one of those back streets from the ledge heading towards Main Street on the right, City Met there. And that's where we're supposed to go have this hearing. So I went, stood up, spoke about how we needed this place, how we're going to work on it. We have parking, we have this, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And the committee, the council committee, deliberated. They accepted our presentation. And I'm watching, and I see an evil spirit move into one of the guys who was going to be our mayor, Glenn Murray. I saw this evil spirit. And I don't know what happened. They brought the whole thing that they just okayed up, and Glenn Murray that voted for us votes against us. Now there's a draw. And when there's a draw in the committee, you lose. So I heard that we lost. I said, how did we lose? They said, you lost. If you want to appeal, appeal. Jesus is Lord. So I said, Lord, what am I going to do? We need that place to be okay. You said that's where the church is supposed to be. Now they are turning us down. What am I going to do? The Lord says to me, did they say to appeal? I said, yes. He said, then appeal. So I started the appeal process. And they tell me it's going to take 3 months. I don't have 3 months. We need to have church. And you tell me 3 months. I went home. Mama was in Nigeria at the time or something. And I am at the table, the dining table. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he gives me a number. And I call. Somebody picks up the phone. I said, this is my problem, blah, 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 blah. I need to have a hearing. I need to appeal. He said, it's going to take 3 months. I said, no, it's not going to take 3 months. He said, what do you mean it's not going to take? I said, when is the next meeting? He said, next week. I said, put me on it. He said, that can be done. I said, did you hear me? I said, I want to be in the next meeting. I have the boldness of God because I know the Lord is on my side on this thing. And the guy stops, says, do you want me to stop the press and put you in the agenda? I said, you got it right. He says to me, he says, okay, if you can get me a letter, but I think it was 1 o'clock or something like that, then I'll find out a way to squeeze you in. I don't know how to type. I don't know how to do anything. I said, God have mercy. What is going on here? I picked up the phone, I called somebody. And they came to help me, typed on the typewriter real quickly, give me the stuff. I take off to City Hall, and I walk in, and the Lord says, "You see that man coming?" I said, "Yes." He says, "That's the person you're supposed to, you've been talking to." So I see the guy, I said, "Are you Mr. Swan?" So he said, "Yes." I said, "This is the letter." This is the letter. So they put us in the agenda. I come the next time. The first time I was so eloquent. Oh my goodness. I was, oh man, you did a good job. This time I flunked. It was the worst speech possible. But before it happened, the guy who was the chairman of the committee, that turned down the application for us to use the building, sees me coming in. He looks at me, and the guy just like blood red. The guy's scared. How did this guy get here? It should take 3 months at least. How? Who does he know? I can just, I'm reading his mind. Things are spinning, and he walks past me. And then, I'm speaking. I wouldn't have given me the permit. That's how bad it was. They voted, and they gave us the permit. I said, "What happened here? What happened?" We started working on that place, using it, and the city will come check on whatever it is that we're doing. And on the days that I needed the help, like tomorrow, they're going to come check. I need some serious help today. Nobody shows up. And I don't know how to do anything. I'm in the building staring at the wall. What am I going to do? Somebody opens the door and says, "You guys need help here?" I say, "Yeah, you know, I need help." And these guys will start doing mudding, you know, and they were terrible. "I can do better than this." And they leave, and the next day they come and check, and they pass us. I'm saying, "What's wrong with your eyes?" "This is terrible work." Even church members that are helping come and say, who did this? Who did this?" I said, "This wouldn't have happened if you guys had been here. So don't start with me now." We finished. And one day, we used to have daily services at 12 noon. One day, I'm there, and nobody shows up. I'm sitting down there by myself. I said, "Lord, there's nobody here. This has never happened." He said, "Yeah, it hasn't happened. It's time for the church to move. We couldn't pay the rent properly in where we were." I said, move what?" He said, "I said the church. It's time for you to move." "Oh, okay, where is the church supposed to move to? You're not going to find it sitting down here. Get in the car." So I get in the car, and I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, and he shows me, takes me all the way from Maryland, 382 Maryland. I'm following the navigation skills of the Holy Spirit, and he brings me around the Inkster, and I come down Main Street, and he shows me this building. He says, "This is where you're going next." I said, "Where?" "This building. Go take it." I'm thinking, Lord, I cannot pay the rent where I am in a small place. You're showing me this huge building to go take it. Do you know how much we get for offerings all year long? They can't even pay my salary. And you're telling me, and I'm right in front there, and I turn around and I'm so upset. I'm so upset that God is telling me to go take this big building. And I hear the Lord. If you don't take that building, I will personally close down the church. I said, look at me and look at trouble. I don't take this building, you're going to close down the church. Okay. I turn around and I'm going, and the next Sunday, I said to the people, we're moving. We're moving. Where are we moving to? I said, I'm not telling you. But today we're going to have a board, a committee, a building committee that's going to go find the place. But I'm not going to tell you where it is. And our first offering, I believe, was $10 or $9, something like that. $10? $9. $9. So the next Sunday I come back. I said, praise the Lord, we're moving. We have 9 committee members. And we got $9. We're going. So I went and I burnt the bridges. I went to my landlord. I told him, I said, we're moving. He said, you're moving where? I said, somewhere. He said, don't be kidding me here. I said, I'm not kidding you. He said, you remember when you were coming in, there was a guy that was leaving? I said, yeah. He said, that guy is looking for a space for church. And I'm going to give your place to him. I said, go ahead. A month and a half later, we were right here. When God says to do something, He makes the provision so that you can do what He said for you to do. And the Feast of Tabernacles is all about that. The awareness of God on your realities. Things that you don't see, things that you don't know. But if you just trust Him, He will prove Himself as the covenant-keeping God. There were different tribes and different clans. Someday I'll talk to you about the Gershonites, the Kohathites, and the clan of Merari. All of them, those clans came from the tribe of Levi, and they were responsible for the main tabernacle. I want you to see the south side, Kohath. Simeon, Reuben, and Gad. These here had curses on them. But would you know that from them, these ones, mighty God. These ones that had limitations placed on them, that Kohat family from the Levites, that one, they were the ones that carried the ark. Merari, Geshen, those ones had carts and oxen to help them. But the real holy things of God were carried by these guys. And it was supposed to be on their shoulders. And what is God saying? He's saying to the south, give up. He's saying to the south, you cannot hold back my intended will for my people. And tonight, I want you to know that God is speaking concerning you. I might revisit that tomorrow when I talk about the Ark of the Covenant. But I want you to know that God uses people that do not qualify, and he qualifies them because he's a God who wants to extend mercy. Where there is darkness, he reveals his light. And I say this to everyone here present, everyone listening to me through all kinds of platforms. If you have a situation that in the natural you look at it and you can't see any good coming out of it, that there is a God who goes beyond and brings out light out of darkness. Nobody is beyond the reach of God. If there were people that were beyond the reach of God, maybe I wouldn't have been a minister. Because me, you didn't preach to me. I'm ready to fight. I don't want to hear nothing about this. And look at me, I'm the one preaching the gospel today. God was able to reach me. God was able to reach a person that got so drunk, was in a coma for 3 days. Then I cannot lose sight of the fact that God reaches far beyond what I can ever dare ask or think. Therefore, give up on nobody. Just have faith in God. He knows how to reach a Saul and make him a Paul. He's well able. And with that, rise with me. Father, your word says that when we acknowledge you, you will direct our path. We acknowledge your lordship tonight. And we ask, O God, for clear directives that you will lead us. For as many as are led by your Spirit, they are the sons of God. And Lord, O God, we want to be that, people that are led by the Spirit, who stand out as sons of the Most High God, declaring the will of God done in the earth as it is in heaven. There are no impossibilities with you. And so, Father, this day we denounce and reject any semblance of defeat. For you are the God who raises us up, the God who causes us to stand uprightly under the wonderful grace that proceeds from you. We are your sons. We are your daughters. And as it was said of you, that you came from God. As it was said of John the Baptist, from God. Father, may our starting point be this, that we are from you. Not just sent by you, we are from you. We emanate from you. The very essence of you is flowing in and through us. And Lord, oh God, in this dark night, we look up and we see the stars, and we're reminded of your covenant promises. And at our lowest point, we see the dust, the sand, and we are reminded that you're a covenant-keeping God. No matter what the situation is, we are reminded that you're a covenant-keeping God. As the people had the leaves cut out, the branches cut out, they were under something that had death in it. For those plantings, those shrubs, those branches were dead. But in spite of it, you were declaring life to your people. So Lord, tonight we declare life come forth out of every death experience. Oh God, that there'll be transformation for every son and every daughter, that every form of indebtedness be shattered, for you are the God who causes us to lack nothing. You are the God who causes everything that we have on to stay new. We tap, oh God, into your everlasting graces. We thank you, Lord, for renewal of the mind, that our thinking changes and matches up with your perfect will. Thank you, Father, for your divine grace, for mercies, for your care. Thank you, Lord, that you will not leave us alone and allow us to go astray. Deliver us from presumptuous sins and everything, oh God, that contradicts your will. Help us to keep the commandments of your love. In the mighty name of Jesus, we decree it so. And all of gospel together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. At this time, let us release from our hands, in faith, by faith, a special offering unto the Lord. He says to us, don't come empty-handed during this feast, because he wants to speak his blessings over that which we sow. This is a very special time in God. During this feast, do your utmost to make certain that you sow something substantial, something that means something to you. Because it is the directive of the Lord. And these are the ways that God causes the blessings of his blessings to pursue after us and overtake us. Don't limit God and don't limit yourself. Amen? Praise the Lord. Tomorrow night is going to be our last night of the feast. It is on that last night or last day that Jesus, our Lord, stood up and declared that if we believe in him, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Tomorrow night is going to be a night of impartation, a night of just crying out to God to help us fulfill our divine mandate in him. This is a special time set apart by God for us to present ourselves to him. I thank God for you, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. And with that, we'll cut off from those that are on Facebook and YouTube and other platforms. And I invite you to come. Those of you that are in the city, come, participate. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we have Sister